and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. And we're going to be going over some recent purchases. Some of these came from Aaron Myers, and some of these came from Twitter. This ones, I think, are from Twitter. So I got Chamber of Darkness. I've been getting into the Marvel horror just because they're really cheap, and a lot of them are reprints and stuff, but their covers are really cool, and I'm really enjoying them. So this is from Marvel Comics. It's a 15-center. It's Chamber of Darkness number 7. Has a gargoyle on the cover, and it says, at the 12th stroke of midnight, you die, the night of the gargoyle. This is Chamber of Darkness number 8. This has like a Frankenstein looking ghoul, but he doesn't look like Frankenstein for sure. I'm gonna sneeze. So hopefully I won't. But this has an older man being carried by this monster, and he says, help me, in heaven's name, somebody help me. I'm being carried away by the beast that walks like a man. So that's Chamber of Darkness number 8. Giant-sized Dracula. Making a lot of progress on my Tomb of Dracula and Marvel Dracula. This is number 3 I needed. Giant-sized Dracula number 3. I think these are reprints, but I think some of them have original content in them. This is Giant-sized Dracula number 4. So I got two of them back-to-back. This one I didn't even know existed. sometimes I run into comics that I just never seen before. A Marvel comic called Little Kids. And it's got a bunch of kids in football outfits, and they're being chased by an older man. And it says, but Mr. Turner, children should be seen, not hurt. And it looks like they threw a football through his window. Kitty capers and cartoon cut-ups. That's Little Kids number 5. It's a 20-center Marvel comic. And I have number 6. And this one has a teacher saying, Freddy, where was the Declaration of Independence signed? And the kid says, at the bottom. Loaded with laughs for the lads and lasses. Little Kids number 6. Then we got Monsters on the Prowl, number 12. This has a huge mummy. I love mummy covers. I don't know what it is about mummies, but I sure do love them on the cover. Here comes Khamdula, the living pharaoh. Tremble, mortals, before the awesome might of Khamdula. Mankind is doomed. Khamdula walks again. So that's Monsters on the Prowl, number 12. We have Monsters on the Prowl, number 24, Marvel Comics, another 20-center. This is Magentor. How does he do it? Magentor is uprooting the entire city, people, cars, even buildings. If he isn't stopped, we're all doomed. It is a cool cover. I love these covers. This is number 27 of Monsters on the Prowl. It says, see him grow before your eyes. Serpo. I can't pronounce it. It has two S's and then E-R-P-O. The creature who crushed the world. He's still growing. Nothing can stop him. By tomorrow, his weight will crush the whole planet. Earth is doomed. That actually looks like a Kirby cover. I wonder if it is. We'll have to look into that. We have Star Wars. I don't have many Star Wars comics, but from Marvel era, I do have the full run in omnibus format. And this is King Size Annual Star Wars number 2. It has Han Solo protecting a beautiful woman and some strange-looking bald monks that are laying sideways like they're in a tomb. It's weird. Strange Tales, number 137. This features Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., and says the prize is Earth, and has Dum Dum Dugan and Nick Fury, and I can't remember the other guy's name, but it's a Severin cover plus Doctor Strange when when Meet the Mystic Minds. It's a really nice cover. And I'm making good progress on that too. Tomb of Dracula. Here we get to number 27. It says, "And the moon spews death, city in flames beneath the hand of the vampire." So the only expensive Tomb of Dracula I really need now is number 10, which is the first appearance of Blade. It's either 10 or 17. So this is Tomb of Dracula number 20. It looks like Blade. Yeah, it is Blade. "You're finished, Night Stalker, as of now, or My Name Isn't Blade, Assault on the Vampire." Dracula's fighting a bunch of people, and Blade has a stake, and it looks like he's going to drive it into his back. I don't know. Strange cover. Cool. Got Tomb of Dracula number 53. Dracula says, "Destroy Blade, kill the fool named Hannibal King. Then we will battle vampire against vampire. Because you demand it, the fanatical fury of Deacon Frost." So it's got Deacon Frost on the cover, Hannibal King, and Blade. That looks so cool. Tomb of Dracula, number 53. This is the big one. "Away from here, mortals, or you are doomed. Tonight belongs to the son of Dracula." It looks like he's birthed a son with his wife. And then Blade's there along with a bunch of other vampire killers. Maybe Hannibal King. Can't tell because you're seeing his back. We got Tomb of Dracula number 57. "Tonight, a lifetime of being hunted by you ends, Harker." So this is Jonathan Harker, I think, with your death. And he's in a wheelchair. And his wheelchair is shooting darts out at Dracula, and he's kind of like half mist, half Dracula. "While the battle rages, greater menace grows, the Forever Man." Tomb of Dracula 57. Tomb of Dracula 58. This one has Blade on the cover, a very special issue. Blade fights alone, one man against a legion of deadly vampires. It's an interesting cover because Blade is in one hand of Dracula jumping out in another hand that is holding vampires in Dracula's other hand, and Dracula's kind of like giant size. And that's Tomb of Dracula 58. Tomb of Dracula 64, "Beware who entered, for you shall never leave hell alive." This demon is telling Dracula that. This is the big one. Dracula comes face to face with Satan. I wonder who will win that one. Got Dracula, Tomb of Dracula number 65. It looks like Dracula's being hunted by a bunch of civilians carrying stakes and bats. And it says, "Come on, we've got to get that killer. Without my vampiric powers, I'm helpless to stop them." And he's like over a body of a blonde woman. We got Two Gun Kid. I don't have many of these at all. Number 79. I don't have a lot of Marvel Western. I do have a lot of DC Western, especially Jonah Hex. Weird Western tales and such, but I've been picking up some Marvel Western. The Two Gun Kid is saying he's going after the River Rats. "I don't care how many of you are gunning against me, this is pay dirt. And wait till you see what happens when the kid meets up with Joe Goliath." It looks like a strong man. We got Two Gun... God, I love comics. Two Gun Kid, number 83. And something about Durango and this pulse-pounding adventure. See the unmasking of the Two-Gun Kid. This is a cool cover. We have War is Hell. This one's not a great shape, but this is number 14. It's got a guy fighting along with his rebels against a bunch of Nazis. It says, "I've got to hold out. If I fall, these refugees are doomed. He's only one man, you fools. Kill him, kill him. Nightmare in Norway." We got Weird Wonder Tales. This looks like a Kirby cover. I want to check it just for shits and giggles. Weird Wonder. Don't have many of these. So this is number one, and it says Reprints Mystic Eye of Doom number six. 1973, the thing that devoured a planet. Cover artist doesn't list. Creative team doesn't list either. I think this is a Kirby cover. It looks like a Kirby monster. Fright-filled first issue. A monster as huge as the universe itself. The thing that devoured a planet. It's got a guy holding his woman. He broke through. Nothing can save us now. The other guys on top of a building are saying, "It's the end of the world." Plus the Eye of Doom, Revolt of the Robots, and much, much more. X-Men number 77. Let's see what this one, if it's the first appearance of anybody. I doubt it, because I think I would recognize the cover, at least most of them. 77, what does it say? Yeah, this is a reprint. This reprints X-Men 29. This is when they were doing the reprints. The X-Men against Super Adaptoid. They're on their costumes. You're powerless against him, and they're fighting the Super Adaptoid, the original five X-Men. Number 78 is also a reprint of X-Men number 30. This is when the X-Men were reprinting some of their books. Can't fight him. His magic is blasting me out of the sky. And it says, "Of course, I am the greatest sorcerer of them all. All of you stand against, for Marvel Girl is mine, the menace of Merlin." So it's the X-Men fight Merlin. I want to read that. I probably have the other original X-Men. Instead, I don't have to read the reprint. 83. I think this is a reprint too. Yeah, this reprints. The team up with Spider-Man. In X-Men 35, along came a spider. This is X-Men 86. This is also a reprint. Reprint from X-Men 38, Amazing Adult Fantasy number 2. And this one has the block. Humanity has never been more awesome, our friends, than the Blob and the Vanisher. It says, "Humanity has never faced a deadlier disaster than Doomsday, the X-Men, the weirdest superhero team of all time." Like the cover, 20 cents. This one I never heard of, but it's a 12 center from Super Quality Comics. Super Comics, Blazing Six Guns, number 12. So it isn't a fairy tale. The Indians weren't just seeing things around here, and it's got a like a bad guy flying on a pterodactyl. See what happens when Bullseye has a showdown with the Devil's Bird. I want to see if I can find anything about this in my database, because I haven't logged these into the database yet, but I need to. Blazing Six Guns. Let's see. Okay, it's not Eight of Yvonne. That was from 1952. Let's see what Blazing Six Guns, the next one, is from IW. What does it say? 12? Let's see if it's in this. Yeah, it is 12. Wow, $145. That can't be right. It says the publisher's IW, even though it's a supergroup here. I would say this is. I'll log them all in after I'm done recording this. Got an Action Comics featuring Supergirl. It's amazing I win some of these because sometimes you just have to say all and then get a reprint print of something I already have. But lately, the auction starts at 8 and I show up at 9 and nobody wants some of these. So I take whatever's left if I need them in my, and I'm able to look in my database to see if I have them. But this is Action Comics 332 featuring Supergirl and Superboy. It says, Superboy, I warned you not to tamper with the trophies in the fortress. You release universe's greatest menaces, the Invisibles. Superwoman, help me. Oh, this is Superwoman. And I promise I'll always obey you, even when I become a Superman. So Superwoman looks a lot like Supergirl. That's interesting. This is 332. And this one I probably had enough time to look up and see. I it says an imaginary Superwoman story. Writer Henry Bolanoff, Jack Schniff, and Leo Dorfman, with art by Al Plastino, Henry Baldinoff, Bernard Bailey, and Jim Mooney. The cover art is by Kurt Swan. Got an Action Comics 370. And what do we got here? Coming up on it. I already have that one. Why did I get that again? But it's a Neil Adams cover. It can't hurt to have an extra Cary Bates, which is one of my favorite writers in the Silver Age and Bronze Age. And this copy is really nice. So this is an upgrade for sure. We have Adventure Comics 368. See if this is the first appearance of anybody. With the Legion, you never know. There's so many of them. 368. No. It's a Jim Shooter story, though, with Kurt Swan and Jim Shooter. It said it lists him as an artist. I gotta check that out. This has Supergirl and God, I don't know her name. It looks like Lightning, alas, but they're tossing Superboy and Ultra Boy in the air and says, "Get lost, Superboy. Good riddance, Ultra Boy." The mutiny of the superheroines, and then all the other females: Saturn Girl, Princess Projecta, Triplicate, Phantom Girl, Dual Damsel. Shadow Lass are in the background, screaming and cheering. Adventure Comics 414. So I own all the Adventure Comics from 1973 forward, and now I'm filling in some of the holes backward. And this is a reprint issue. Strange Adventures, An Animal Man. Looks like there's a Zatanna story in it. And two new brand new Supergirl stories. So you have some new stories. I love these Supergirl covers. Vortex is kidnapping the skyscraper and I'm helpless to stop him. Got Secrets of Haunted House, a guy in a carriage chasing a man with a ball and chain to his ankle. That's a 25-cent House of Secrets number 2. Secrets of Haunted House, sorry. Secrets of Haunted House number 3. We defy you to unlock the shocking secrets of the haunted house. This one has a ghost coming through the window and a man kind of scared, sweating under the covers of his bed. Superman's girlfriend Lois Lane. Release me, fair mortal, and my black magic will grant you every wish. So it's a genie in a bottle. Lois, don't fall for his line. He's trying to trick you into taking his place in the bottle, featuring the demon in the bottle. 12th center. We got Weird War number 43. This has some American soldiers and Nazis fighting on a chessboard with a ghost sort of with his hand playing chess. That's a 25-center, number 43. We got a Wonder Woman, 152, beautiful cover. This is really good condition. This is a monster coming out of the ice, and some mermaid guy, she's saving out of the ice and says, Wonder Girl, look out for the ice bird. I'd better put it on ice, Mere Boy, before it makes frozen fish of you. The teenage Amazon must choose between the lives of her own family and all the Amazons in Wonder Girl's Decision of Doom. Special feature, Wonder Girl's Mysterious Father. That's Wonder Woman, number 152. I haven't got a lot of older Wonder Womans lately. They just don't come up in these things. This is a book I never heard of from the American Comics Group. It's a 10th center. It looks like a golden age. I'd have to look at the dates. It's number 22 of the Kilroys. And it has them driving a car with the top down. And they're all soaking wet. And the guy's screaming, SOS, SOS. And the girl in the front seat's real pissed off. And the girl in the back seat's looks scared. And they were driving down the street, and the Department of Streets had a street cleaner coming through with water coming out of the edge and soaked them. That's a cool cover. And then we got some Bongo comics. Bart Simpson's Treehouse of Horror, number 1, 2, and 3. I had zero Bongo comics, but over the course of the last 4 years, I've accumulated a small amount. I have maybe 15 in my collection, and a lot of them are number ones or early issues. So that wraps up this issue or episode of the Back Issues. I will be back with some questions from the listeners, and then we'll wrap up some weekly reads. So let me gather some questions. I'll be right back. All right, I think this week's questions all come from Dallo Spicer on Twitter, and listener of the show, and appreciate your questions, Dallo. As always, you have asked, have you ever visited any countries outside of North America? When you retire, do you plan to travel? If so, which countries? The answer is no. The only place I've ever gone to is Mexico, and that's in North America. And I have not traveled outside of North America. I haven't even gone to Canada. I am planning to go to Canada, I think, soon, to visit some friends that are in Buffalo and cross the border, hopefully, and go to Niagara Falls and visit some areas in Canada, hopefully. I don't have any plans to go outside of North America yet, because I just haven't felt. I'm not a traveling guy, for one thing, and those are long flights. It took a lot for me to go to Hawaii, and that's on an island. I did have a really good time. So I may. It really depends on my health when I do retire, and can I take a flight that's that long? I have this paranoia of being outside of North America. I don't know why it is. Like, it's like a security blanket, but it's like, how will I access things? How will I exchange currencies? And how will I take things like phones and stuff overseas and have them be secure? And I don't know what it is, but maybe. And if I do, I'll probably get like a loaner phone, and I'll figure out how to transfer currencies and stuff, but I've never had to worry about that. So sure, if I go to Canada, I will. But yeah, it's a good question. But no plans so far. Another question, and you have a picture of our Marines on the cover, so it's a valiant question. Have you got all the issues you want of VH1 Acclaim and VEI? For example, have you got the rare Acclaim our Marines for? Yes. Are there any that I'm answering your question, yes. Are there any Valiant books you'd pick up extra copies of, like first appearances? Probably not. I'm at my age and stuff, I'm not looking to pick up any additional books, but yes, I have a complete run of Valiant. There is one comic that was supposed to come out by Ray Fox, and I can't remember what it is. It's like First Something. And I think it's very rare. That's the only thing that I know that I don't have. What was it called? I wish I would have bookmarked it, because I was gonna go look at it in my database to see if it even existed. But yes, I have the last issue of Unity, and the really one that was really hard for me to obtain was the last issue of Shadow Man and the last volume of Acclaim. That one was a bear to get, and if it wasn't for the Valiant fan groups on Facebook, I probably would have never gotten it. But I do have all of these. Don't plan on getting. I don't have. When I say I have all the Valiant comics, I mean I have all the Valiant comics stories and issues. But I like main issues, cover A's. I don't have all the variant covers, and so if I did run across some of the, pink labels or whatever, some of the gold editions, I might get them if the price was right, but I don't think I would go out of the way to. I'd rather get stories and books that I don't have at all. The next question, part A, why do you think Marvel consistently outperforms DC in terms of sales? I think it has to do with the generational of the 60s and 70s of them grabbing so many fans, and people staying like Marvel zombies. Like, they're more loyal to the company. DC fans are also hardcore. I know a lot of podcasters that their first comics and their love is DC. Comic Geek Speak, a lot of other podcasts, Raging Bullets, you'll find me, you'll find so many that have that are DC buffs, and a lot of us started with DC because of the Super Friends. So the cartoons, you know, so media drove us to this things. Army Men, at the time I could never find a Marvel war book, but there sure as hell was a lot of DC war books, and Unknown Soldier, Starling, Star Spangled War Stories, GI Combat, Sergeant Rock, Men of War, so many to get, you know. And I think it's just that generation bought a lot of Marvel comics and sticks with it. So they've been getting Amazing Spider-Man forever. Also, you might appreciate this answer, but they haven't rebooted their stuff. Like, if you think of the Marvel Universe, there's been, like, soft reboots, but not, like, hard reboots. Like, after Crisis on Infinite Earths, or after Flashpoint with New 52, and, you know, all that stuff. And DC's done it, you know, several times now, so... That could be why there's more people that stick around and there's more jumping off points for DC. You say, part B, DC put you in charge with the goal of topping Marvel as the number one publisher. What changes would you make? That'd be tough. Because I think they've tried almost everything, and they have won, but they can never maintain their stuff, like the winning, for more than several months. Like after Crisis, they won market share. They won market share after New 52 launched for like 3 months. They were on top, but they just can't sustain it. What would I do? I have no idea, because the stuff I love, I don't know if it has mass appeal, but I would try to put like top creators on it. I would try to restart everything with number one, because I think that would garner like new readers. And when I mean new readers, I mean old readers that want to try new number ones. And just try to get top creative teams. Don't mess with the formula of the character. Like, have the basic things that make Superman, Superman, Batman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Wonder Woman, question, any character. The fundamentals would have to be there. And then just tell really, really good stories and have great art. A lot of the new art teams of people I haven't even heard of have been really fantastic, whether it be in Valiant, Marvel, and DC. I don't know where they're getting these guys. I have no idea. The thing I think that's happened is they can't pay the dollar rate for some of the real big creators anymore. That's what I think has happened, but I don't know for fact. What changes would I make? I would do like New 52 did, and I'd probably lose. But I liked how New 52 did. They had like two Western books, a horror, you know, a couple horror books, some superhero stuff. With the war books, I would have definitely taken it to World War II or Vietnam time period pieces. I would not try to reinvent war books for the current time. If I did, I would do like the like they did with Black Hawks, and try to like find a way to craft them into the modern world. But I'd rather have World War II Black Hawks. So I you know, it's tough. Some Western comics, maybe even a romance comic, one romance comic, you know, slice of life comic. Definitely have all the big characters would have a ongoing. Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman for sure, which all have an ongoing right now. You'd have an Aquaman book, Captain Atom book, Justice League, Justice Society, lots of core properties that have been there for a while. I'd throw in a Metal Man comic. I think that would be really good. An Angel and the Ape comic, I think, would be really cool. In a Vertigo type Black Label format. So much things I'd love to play with. Some Spectre. I would throw in a Spectre comic because that's always been really good. Aquaman, Flash, Green Lantern, of course. Question would definitely have a book. There's one coming, Renee Montoya version. I don't know if the take on it is what I'd prefer. I'd rather have Vic Sage. Some Milestone comics, of course. I know we have some that are coming, but there'd be some Milestone characters to spotlight in mini series because I don't think an ongoing could survive. But I'd give them chances to. God, there's so much I love in DC. An Ambush Bug, for sure. OMAC. I would go classic OMAC for a while with Koblish doing the art because he can get the Kirby stuff. Giffen and Koblish, even though Giffen's gone, maybe he can do his own art. I know he has. Maybe a Tom Scholey OMAC book. I bring back the New Gods. Play in that world for a while. Try to reinvent some of the Kirby love with keeping the core ideas that Kirby kept around. Mr. Miracle always seems to have a series every now and then. He'd be a good one to bring back. Yeah, there's a lot to play with. I'd have a Superboy title. Wildcat title, maybe an Infinity Inc., an All-Star Comics that takes place in World War II. A Plastic Man would have his own title. I'd make DC go bankrupt, essentially. So I hope that answers your question. Nobody would want it but me. Jonah Hex definitely have a title. I'd bring back Palmiotti and Gray. Jonah Hex, for sure. Sergeant Rock would have a title. G.I. Hana Tank would have a title. And I would keep it core, even though it wouldn't fit in today's world with, you know, Jeb Stuart and all, you know, that Confederate flag. That was the core of what G.I. Combat was. So it's like, I know they won't politically correct do stuff like that, but that's what it was. So how do you take away what the concept is and reinvent it for today's world? It's tough. I would keep it what it was. I know it wasn't a good thing, but that's what it was at the time. And that's, I don't know how you could change it because that's the Haunted Tank. Definitely Unknown Soldier. So I would focus a lot on some war comics. The War That Time Forgot might be interesting. The Losers. Yeah, they definitely go bankrupt. I'd drive them into the ground, but I'd have fun doing it. Legion of Superheroes title would be back there for sure. I'd bring back Jim Shooter if his health got better. I know he's not doing so well, but let him take on the Legion and I would let him do his thing. I'd say have fun, just do it, no editorial guidance whatsoever, and pick your who do you want as an artist. Another question: what comic storylines would you like to see in movies that haven't already seen? Shoof. Blackest Night would be cool. I would like to see that. The Sinestro Corps War. The Trial of the Flash from Kerry Bates years. The House of Secrets, House of Mystery, some of those that could be done in like Tales from the Crypt type stories. I think that would be a lot of fun. An Angel and the Ape series. I would love to see that. Play with the Sugar and Spike. Non-animated series and see if you can pull it off. Defenders. Oh my God. If I could do some Steve Gerber Defenders, I would eat that up, man. And pull off the Sons of the Serpent, that racial group that took down the Defenders, and they had to bring in extra members and Son of Satan. And I would love a Son of Satan story told, right? A Hellstorm. I mean, you could even go into the 90s Hellstorm or go into the 70s, and I would dig the shit out of it. I'd eat that fucking shit up. Defenders, the Champions. Oh my God, I would love that in Marvel Cinematic Universe done right. I would take them into the 70s though. I really would. I'd have Johnny Blaze Ghost Rider in there, and Black Widow, Hercules, Iceman, and Angel. I would eat that shit up. The Losers would make a really good. Not the modern Losers, but the Jack Kirby Losers. Oh, man. That'd be so sweet. World War II. I'd make a Sergeant Rock movie. I can't believe there hasn't been one. There's been a Jonah Hex movie. It was decent. They tried to do what they could with the property. They try to be true to the Western, but then add in the Vertigo flavor to it. I thought they did okay. I'd rather have a straightforward Jonah Hex. If I could get a perfect, I'd have a Clint Eastwood, like around the time of Outlaw Josie Wales, playing Jonah Hex. That'd be sweet. Maybe an AI. I don't know. I could talk about these questions forever. Would love another Jonah Hex movie. A TV show would be great. I Vampire would be interesting. Play with that a little bit. The Titans, they've played with some of the main series in the HBO Titans and the TNT Titans. So they've kind of already done that, played it, and they did it pretty well, I mean, for the most part. Doom Patrol, they've kind of done. Yes, I could talk about stuff that I'd like to see. Contest of Champions would be fun. Just like a mini series movie where you'd have the Grandmaster and Death playing on their board, and you could have the Collector in there and all kinds of cool stuff, and they're choosing their teams to go against one another to find artifacts. You could do a Secret Wars movie true to the comic. You say, I'll say a Harbinger Wars would be good. Armor Hunters, 4001 AD. That would be a lot of fun. Judge Dredd, I mean, I think they really did justice to it in the last movie, Dredd. I'd like to see that. But I was even happy to see Sylvester Stallone as Dredd. Any kind of Dredd made me happy. So I would like to see a Nemesis the Warlock. I always thought that was the shit. A Magnus Robot Fighter movie. Oh, fuck. And then, like, a Dr. Solar. I know he's, like, Dr. Manhattan. He's so powerful. But if it was done, like, early Valiant Dr. Solar, I would eat that shit up. Yeah, there's so much to talk about. I want to thank you for the questions, Dallo. And, I'm glad I got to talk about them. And I am going to now calculate some of the weekly reads. I'll be right back. All right, we're back. And we're going to talk about books read from July 8th to July 14th. We'll jump into the movies we watched. I watched Extraction 2. It took me a while to get to that on Netflix, even though I loved Extraction 1. I thought Extraction 2 was better. I gave it a 4 out of 5, and I rewatched Extraction and confirmed that I liked the sequel better. I did. Fantastic movie on Netflix. I loved it. First one, he had to save a kid. The second one, he has to go rescue his sister-in-law from like a Russian area prison. And God, it was so good. For comic books, I read a total of 28. Not too bad for me. Six Marvel, two Magma, three Image, 12 DC, one Boom, one Blood Moon, three Antarctic. We'll start with the 3 out of 5s. There, we got a Blood Hunt. Union Jack the Ripper, Blood Hunt number 2. Union Jack tries to help his friend overcome vampirism. Vengeance of the Moon Knight 5 and 6. The Shroud takes on Tigra and the Hunter's Moon. Also, 8-Ball forms an alliance with the Moon Knight vampires. So those were 3 out of 5s. Union Jack dropped a little bit. I thought it number 1 had a great horror vibe to it, and I felt like it kind of lost the momentum of number 1. But I still enjoyed it. So 3 out of 5 is I liked it. 4 out of 5 is I really liked it. We had Planet Comics 20 through 22. Enjoyed the robot sex story, the Shaman Kane and the Hunchback stories. I thought they were all good. It's an anthology of science fiction. Had a lot of fun with that. Black Panther Blood Hunt number 2. Black Panther struggles with his vampirism and the gods battle with his soul. Monolith number 1, that's from Image Comics in the Spawn universe. In the future, Monolith is imprisoned by a violator. The Principles of Necromancy number 1, a witch doctor is killing many of a clan and turning them into mutated monsters. The art is really spectacular. If you like Conan and fantasy and sorcery, you'll probably dig this one. That's from Magma Comics. Fantastic Four number 21, Mr. Fantastic and Alicia head to an art gallery where they are attacked by zombies. The rest of the family is attacked at the near headquarters. I had a lot of mixed feelings about Fantastic Four. Overall, I've really enjoyed it. Mostly 4 out of 5s for me, but I can see why it's waning on some people. And it hasn't changed. The writer is not writing a Fantastic Four book. It's always about two of the characters together. One of the character, Alicia, he's never united them as a family. And I almost want to eye hem him and said, "Hey, when are we going to get like a Fantastic Four comic book with all four of them doing some kind of activity?" They have done some stuff when they fight like a crooked city and stuff, you know, the families together, but we haven't seen like classic Fantastic Four deal with some of the Fantastic Four villains that we normally deal with. We got Midnight Suns, Blood Hunt number 2. Johnny and Danny form an alliance to stop Blade and realize that he is possessed and maybe even help him out. We got Superman. I caught up on that for House of Brainiac. Superman 6 through 12 and Annual 2. 2023, Superman and Lex Luthor take on Dr. Graft and Dr. Farm, and the Chained. The Chained is an interesting character. It leads to the House of Brainiac. Crocodile Black, a strange kid, seems to have become an assassin because he witnessed an original killer of a crime family, and it sounds like he's turned into that. I don't know how or why. We got Superman House of Brainiac Special and Superman number 13, which is a House of Brainiac in Action Comics 1064 to 1065. So what is House of Brainiac? House of Brainiac is kind of like a Superman family team up with Lobo to deal with the Brainiac. The main Brainiac has come and he's brought his family of Brainiacs. Although some of them are like opposing him, like Vril Dox and some of the other ones that he just like took over and is controlling them, leads to the Lady Brainiac, the Queen Brainiac, if you want to call her, who's still running around in absolute power now. I just started that, so I know that she's there. But really good Superman event. It really is a really exciting event to follow, artistically and story-wise. Misery number one, this was really good. Focuses on Al's daughter, Cyan, as she is mad about Terry, her father, not going to find out what happened to Wanda. That's her mother. Then her and her friend get attacked by two men. They look like they're going to get raped. She blacks out, and the men, I think, were killed. We have the 5 out of 5s, which are Fire in the Madhouse from Blood Moon. Things around the world are happening to indicate the end of the world, and several people are headed to a secret underwater ship to be safe. Really good art, really good story. Blood Moon is just, they're one of the top publishers of horror, for sure. Savage Dragon 270 is a 5 out of 5. A fight with the fish mutated creatures. Maxine is troubled by the sexual assault of Mickey, but decides to run a marathon naked to overcome her fear. Silicon Bandits number 1. This was my favorite read. This is a couple coming up with advanced AI that they want to turn into weapons for the government, and they get fired by the government and from the company. And they are coming up with a plan to get revenge and control their creations again. I thought it was really good. I got to go back to the storage unit, finish that thing. So that wraps up this episode. Thanks to Dallo for, this is episode 250. I don't know if you've listened to all of them, Dallo, but you've been a supporter of the show forever. Thank you, Drew, for being a supporter of the show. So many of you, Nick Wetmore, provide questions. Chris, so many people have supported this show, and it's I when I started this, I didn't think I would make it to 250. That's a lot of episodes to be talking to myself. I still enjoy doing them because I feel like I have a lot to say, and sometimes it's good to get my thoughts out, and I don't script any of it, so I just like talking about comics, and I love looking at stuff and reading stuff, and hopefully this latches on to people and the word spreads and people listen. But thank you for listening, and thanks for hanging around for 250 episodes of Mike M's Weekly Reads. I hope to be doing this for the rest of my life, if I don't lose interest and I keep up the momentum. So thank you all for questions, and thank you for supporting the show. You can reach me at mikemyersbrunch@gmail.com. New email, new site, dcnoisepodcast.com. You'll find that Geek Brunch podcast has been archived. It only has old stuff there. So going forward, everything will be on DC Noise, just to save some costs. And we'll figure out what to do in the future. I might go the route of Comics for Fun and Profit and put the archive off on YouTube because they don't charge you. But just so I have the whole archive out. But yeah, I thank you for supporting the show, and thanks for listening. We'll probably develop a Patreon of some sort to support the show, because these costs, now that I'm paying for them, I never realized what a pain in the ass they are. And that's the only thing I'm not enjoying about this, is all the costs. Now that I'm paying for a lot of it, Derek took the brunt of that for most of my podcasting career, so I never realized how much he was paying and how much the prices have gone up and stuff, but they have. But thank you for supporting the show, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye. Have a good one and read more comics.